Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I would like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. And yes, you guessed it, we're going to be talking about the Billy Meier case today. And I got something sent to me, a link sent to me from Switzerland, from Marion Ulinger. I don't even know if I'm pronouncing her last name correctly, but she's a wonderful lady. We've sent many emails back and forth, and she sent me a link to another radio program that she thought was very important that I should discuss on the show. So we're going to do that. We're going to discuss that information on the show, and I think we may do that first. And then I have a caller that's going to be joining us, a guy named Rem Robinson, and he's from the Colorado Meier Study Group, and we're going to talk about the Meier case, and we're going to talk about probably a whole bunch of stuff. I just want to send a friend another message. So any case, we are studying the Meier case, but kind of in a roundabout way. There are two organizations I'm going to talk about. One of them is called CERCO, and this other organization is called SES, which stands for Senior Executive Service. The CERCO group is a company actually owned by, headquartered in the United Kingdom. It does all kinds of crazy stuff, as you're going to find out here shortly. It does health, transport, immigration, defense. CERCO seems to be a company that builds nuclear weapons, space manufacturing, manages immigration services, and they're in hospitals, prisons, air traffic control. They handle application services for patents. They handle the Obamacare situation, which I don't understand all that. And there's nothing about this company that is focused. It's all over the place. They get about $6 billion annually. They handle even parking meters. Their SES, on the other hand, stands for Senior Executive Service, and they are a major part of what we call our deep state in the United States. Our government is so corrupted. We have what's called a deep state, which is a cesspool of corruption, and maybe we'll clarify that a little bit later in the show. The SES is what gives this company, CERCO, its contracts. SES is related to British Aerospace Engineering. It's also related to Lockheed Martin. And one interesting thing is Lockheed Martin controls much of the nuclear industry of the world. SES is highly skilled in getting contracts, and SES gets CERCO contracts. All of this is really related to the Queen of England and what you could call the Illuminati, but let me continue. What is the real mission of CERCO? The mission statement of CERCO is just a bunch of flowery speech that doesn't mean anything. One of the strange things of CERCO is it owns a large pathology company in the UK, And pathology deals with the testing of blood and human tissues. The main focus of Circa really is to control and track human beings. And they plan on putting chips into people that would actually control their bodies. The Internet of Things is also part of the activities of Circa. One of the things that Circa wants to report on is death. And there's something called the Walker patents, which deal with 5G. And Circa is related to 5G, and I guess Circa is the force behind 5G. 5G is the whole new Wi-Fi for the world, which is total insanity. It will result in 25,000 satellites that will rain down energy, Wi-Fi energy, on all of us. And this Wi-Fi energy can kill you if the watts are high enough. If it's a lower wattage, it can alter your brain state. It can attack different parts of your brain. It can put you to sleep. It can cause you to forget. So the 5G Wi-Fi can do many things. And again, there's something called the Walker patents, which I don't know that much about. This is all new to me, in fact, that are related to this 5G technology. Circo is here to manage the Walker patents. And the 5G is, a lot of people are saying, it's going to kill a lot of people. Circo is there to manage the depopulation of many of these countries. Circo will manage FEMA Region 9 in the United States. Circo will use 5G to remote control human beings. Circo will put chips in people that will control their limbs, control their consciousness. It'll do many other things. Circo will launch a whole series of these 25,000 satellites, which could potentially destroy our atmosphere. So this is just an introduction to this topic that I wanted to just talk about briefly here today. What is going on? This is what's going on. This is the danger that faces all of us. And we are in grave danger right now, probably in more danger than we've ever been before. And this is probably related to something else the Meyer material talks about, which has been called the DSP satellites. And I'm just scanning my notes here to see if I have anything right in front of me about that. I may not. But let me talk to you a little bit about this Circo group. What's behind the Circo group is the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Bilderberger Group, the Council on Foreign Relations, the Trilateral Commission, the United Nations, the Club of Rome. They are very interesting groups, some of which they're absolutely right on certain things. Many things are just flat evil, and they're horrific, and they're monsters. And let me cover this quickly. The first goal of the elite is to create a one-world government. The world government will be a system in which people with knowledge about science and technology will take control of society. 5G is a perfect example of this. They will create a one-world church, a unified monetary system. The second goal of the elite is to create a technocracy. The control of society will be achieved by what are called the technical experts, like the people in control of 5G. The technical elite, the technical experts, will be about 1% of the total population. And our society is in the process of being transformed into a technocracy. The third goal of the elite is to take away the rights and freedoms of the public. And the way Billy has always said it, he said, they are going to try to take away our rights of self-determination. And we have been born into a prison. Billy calls it a consciousness conditioned tyranny in the book, the Goblet of Truth. One of the fourth goal of the ruling class is to merge mankind with machines. Billy has talked about the rise of the robot people in Contact 251. Well, people will have their arms and legs removed and attached to machines intentionally. The fifth goal of the rich is to dumb down the public, which is going on if you listen to the music, if you watch the videos. The whole world is being dumbed down, and 5G is probably going to do that even more. The sixth desire of the controllers is to put people into what are called mega cities, where you will get a tiny little, what they call a coffin apartment, that you can barely fit in. The seventh aim of the elite is to restrict travel. You will not have the right to own and drive your own vehicle. There will be driverless cars, which will take us only to the places that we are allowed to go. There will be very large freeways that connect large cities, but mostly we will not be allowed to go into certain restricted areas. The eighth goal of this New World Order is to take away all of our privacy. And this is something that will become more apparent later. The ninth desire of the New World Order is to eliminate nations, so to get rid of borders. That's why the border of the United States is open. Don't listen to the social justice warriors about the downtrodden. There are 100,000 immigrants spilling into our country every month. This will destroy our economy, among other things. The New World Order wants to bring about the utter destruction of all national identity, national pride. They want a one-world government. They want the destruction of religion, especially the Christian religion, with one exception, their own religion. They're going to have their own version of religion. They want to end industrialization. They want to call this the post-industrial zero-growth society. You know, that's interesting because there are certain aspects of that I could probably go along with. They want to establish and control every person through means of mind control, and the 5G that I was just talking about is part of the whole picture. This is probably the most dangerous thing. If they can get in 5G, we're going to be in horrible trouble. They want to create human robots. Zbigniew Brzezinski, the national security advisor under Carter, stated that surely the public would be unable to think and reason for themselves. And this is one thing that I agree with on the New World Order. They want to reduce the world's population, and that is absolutely critical that we do that. Because if we keep up our rate of growth now, we're going to be in a disaster that we can't even really wrap our minds around. So anyway, this is, I cover that really, really quickly. So I'm going to put us back talking about Edward Albert Meyer, and eventually we'll hopefully get our guest to call in. Let me follow up with a quick thought on population, because one of the things I've been thinking about is population and how to make this easy for people to understand. Because one of the things that you'll hear is, oh, you can fit all the people in the whole world into a small area in Texas. And that's true. So you can fit all the people of our world into a small area in Texas. My guest is hopefully going to call in here. He just sent me a message on Skype. So I got a little distracted there. Okay. So we have, let's say there are 7 billion people in the United States, and we cram them all into 200 or 300 or 400 square miles in Texas. Okay, you hear this argument a lot. Well, what are these people going to eat? Well, if they're in Texas, they ought to be able to eat beef, right? They're going to eat cows. Well, how much space do cows need to graze? Well, typically, it takes about 1.5 to 2 acres for a cow to have enough area to graze. So if you have 7 billion people crammed in Texas, and you're going to give those people get one cow in their whole lifetime, which is not very much, which is kind of ridiculous, actually. But we'll give them just one cow. Well, that cow needs about 2 acres. Let's give it 2 acres to graze. That means for those 7 billion people, you're going to have to make an additional 14 billion acres if they only get one cow their whole life. Now, what if they want to eat ham? What if they want to eat chickens? What about if they want to eat corn and rice and et cetera, et cetera? Pretty soon you got billions and billions of acres of space just for the food. Now, this doesn't account for the what lifestyle they have. Because if they're going to have automobiles and they're going to have computers and they're going to have reasonable clothes and light fixtures and microwaves and cell phones and garages and garage door openers, we're going to have all of these factories, which takes up billions and billions of acres. Again, you see where I'm going with all this. So just keep that in mind. I have a caller. 720, is this Rem?
It is.
Rem Robinson, sir, how are you?
Can you hear me?
Yes. Welcome to the show. Oh. I don't know if you actually heard my ranting at all, but I've been talking about...
I heard a lot of it.
I was talking, first of all, about this company that Marianne in Switzerland told me about and told me to cover the show on, and this is this company called Serco.
Right.
And did you hear any of that?
I did.
Okay.
Yeah,
and
it almost sounds
very
too bad to be true, you know.
It does, doesn't it? It really, that's the perfect way to describe it. I love that. Go ahead, continue.
Well, I'm gonna have to look at that. I watched about 3.5 minutes of the video that you sent me, the YouTube link that she sent you. So
Yeah. You'll have to listen to that because this relates to these little devices that your friend there, Carol. It's Carol's, right, Steve?
Yeah.
These little devices that she is invested in, and they're supposed to block some of this. Do you have one?
I do. I have I have four.
Do you? I'm going to have to get more.
I have the home device, which is the bigger cone-shaped one that has, a 45-foot radius protective field, I guess you could call it. And then I have the home and body and car one, which is a little bit bigger than the size of a pack of cigarettes, I guess. And then the smaller one, which is the one that's kind of like on a keychain.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have a phone chip, or maybe two phone chips.
I just got this one that's, I don't know, maybe the keychain size one. It's maybe 2 inches long or something like that, 2 or 3 inches long. And, you know, I've had some experiences with this that, like, I felt energized. I can't explain it. Like, I was so focused and just my brain was like this machine. That's the only thing I can describe it. And it was awesome. It's not like that every time, but... Have you had any of those experiences?
I don't know. I think so, but I told Carol that I'm not a very good person to give testimonials on this because I quit drinking alcohol back in like October. So I guess it's been about 7 months. So I think that's had a bigger effect on me than anything else, right? I feel much better as a result of that, you know.
Okay. That's understandable. I was a little skeptical about this, but I do think it's doing something. I don't know how it works. And if I had a bigger one, I think it would be even more of an effect. But this
so
little guy, and
I,
you know, I can hold it right against my chest, and it feels like it lightens up a load on my heart, which is weird.
Maybe.
I don't. anyway, I'm Ryan. Go ahead.
I got to talk to Carol again about it because I was just talking to my neighbor yesterday, and he saw my little keychain one on my keys that were hanging from my belt loop. And he asked what it was. I explained it to him, and I don't really know that much about my neighbor. This one, but I was over across the street talking to my one neighbor, and then his friend, who is my other neighbor, who is the one who was talking to me about asking about it. I don't know much about the friend, but he was in the military, which I had no idea. And he's only 25, but he was in the military for, I think 8 years. So from 17 to up until now, I think he's just about to get out of there. But he was telling me about scalar waves. I told him how the thing worked, and he said, oh, yeah, scalar waves, they go side to side. And magnetic waves, they go up and down, or Hertz waves, or I think it was Hertz waves. I think he said, now I feel like I'm getting my information a little bit confused. But I think he seemed to understand what it was. What I was talking about when I was trying to explain the way that this works to him. And I don't think it blocks it. I think Carol would say that it neutralizes it, but, causes it to kind of harmonize with the, surrounding environment a little bit more. And you can never fully, get rid of the waves, the destructive waves, you know, the harmful scalar waves, but you can, I think these devices get rid of, 67% of them.
Well, let me interrupt you and let's talk about this a little bit, because who is so rotten and so evil and so horrible that they want to bathe the planet with these horrible waves that negatively affect all life? What in the
heck
is going on?
I don't know. I find it to be totally amazing in a bad way.
Exactly.
It's like, I can't imagine who would want to do that. Like, I think listening to Randy Winters or something talk about the contact reports a long time ago. And
yeah,
he was talking about how I think it was the Giza intelligences and how they wanted to control the Earth. And somebody said, well, why didn't they just wipe out the planet and wipe out the population? And well, if you want to control people, if you're going to kill everyone, then you don't have anybody else to control anymore.
You don't have any slaves.
Yeah.
Right?
So, I mean, if they want to kill everyone, then they're not going to have any, but maybe they know that it's not going to kill everyone. Maybe they know it's just going to kill most people and they're going to have a smaller amount of slaves. Right. Like maybe they know that overpopulation is a problem, but they don't know of any other way to reduce population.
It's interesting because the Club of Rome is one of these organizations, and they really do scientific research. I used to have a guy on. He was a colonel from the Air Force, Colonel Donald Ware. He was a UFO researcher, And one of the things we agreed on was the population problem. And mm-hmm. but he, I, what he, you know, he just like drank the Kool-Aid or something, because he believed that these guys were all good and warm and fuzzy or something. I don't know. He was a yeah. really good guy. I really loved talking to him, but I did not trust the global elite at all. But he was talking about the Club of Rome, and they've done all this research. I mean, hard, intelligent research about what is going on the planet with the incredible population problem. And if people don't realize this, I don't have the statistics in front of me, but I was talking earlier about it takes about 2 acres for one cattle to graze. And if we have 7 billion people on the planet, and if everybody can eat just one cow, that's 14 billion acres just for the cattle to graze.
I know.
And that doesn't include the chickens and the pigs and whatever else, turkey and what you want to eat as far as vegetables. And then you got all the factories that have to build all of our stuff. See, one of the big things is there are billions and billions of people that are living in the third world that don't have anything. And mm-hmm. what happens when they start to get things? You know, it's just and locally.
I know, I've always wondered
locally,
that too.
You know, I mean, seriously, locally. Go ahead. I'm just.
Have you ever seen the movie Cowspiracy?
No.
It that touches upon all those points that you're talking about with cows and how many acres it takes for a cow to grow up and how cows are destroying our environment and how we're the guy who made the movie really advocates for people to become vegetarians, which we know is not exactly the right way either, but
right.
And he mentions overpopulation, but he barely talks about it. The whole time I was watching it, I was just like, well, cows aren't the problem. It's the fact that we're overpopulating the planet and we're making all these cows. Well, we're kind of making them in the sense that we're like allowing them to breed and we're cultivating their existence.
You know, it's interesting and hold on to your thought there. I wanted to interject this thing because one of the disasters that's going on in Africa related to the cows and all the other livestock that we have is that the ecosystem is so tuned perfectly that we have these giant grasslands in Africa, but our cows and our livestock move too slowly. They graze too much. They don't move quickly enough. So their defecation doesn't fertilize properly either. So it's creating a desert out of Africa. And the research that they've done is that the lions and the hyenas and the zebras and the impalas, they move quickly, which is perfect for fertilizing the grasslands. So it all has to be there. It has to be just the way it is, you know, for this
yeah.
biosphere to work is what I'm trying to say. Go ahead.
Well, the manure needs to be spread out more when it's compacted so closely in placed so closely, then it, yeah, that's what kills the grassland probably, right?
Mm-hmm. It's so, the whole of nature is so perfectly tuned. And one of the horrible things I'm seeing where I live now, and I literally force myself to drive to work on different routes so I don't have to see it, because the power companies around here are going through, and we have beautiful wooded areas. It's just gorgeous. And they're going through where the trees are close to the power lines, and they just hack the tree. It's just, it looks like artillery has gone off in some place.
Yeah, I've
it's
seen
just
that.
So horrible. Have you seen that?
I have, yeah.
It's just horrible. It's one of the things I'm dealing with. Go ahead.
You're talking about overpopulation, and I was reading Billy's pamphlet, A Crusade Against Overpopulation, recently.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever read that?
I could have. I just, you know, don't remember off the top of my head. Yeah.
he's saying that the majority of the overpopulated areas in the world are, I mean, the whole world is overpopulated, which is true,
yeah.
But it's not quite that simple. It's more like all of the third world countries, especially India. I guess, I don't know if India is considered a third world country, but a lot of the third world countries, but also including India, and then also, well, are the majority of the overpopulation is occurring in other countries, and some of the civilized countries, like the United States, so-called civilized, right? A lot of the countries
right.
in Europe. I don't know about Russia, but some of, like maybe Canada. I think Canada is declining in population, possibly. Maybe they're just kind of remaining sort of steady.
Well, what's happening in Canada is the native. When I say native, I mean the Anglo-Saxon white people are not having that many kids. China is invading Canada, but go ahead, not to interrupt.
Yeah, so not everybody is to blame a little bit for overpopulation. When you talk about overpopulation, where like a lot of the Uyghur groups are, a lot of these groups exist in countries like the United States. There's Canada, there's Australia, there's Germany, there's Switzerland, Austria. Maybe England. A lot of those countries are not, and where people are finding out about that overpopulation is a problem through FIGU. A lot of people argue against that by saying, well, we're not really overpopulated, but they're not really seeing it as much as other countries are. And the,
right.
the countries that need this information are not really countries that where FIGU has really reached too many people, I feel like. So, but yeah, when China and when India and when other countries start getting amenities that we have, like creature comforts and everything, then that's when everything is going to become very much worse, I think. It's already pretty bad, but imagine if these countries are overpopulated and they're pre-industrial revolution in terms of the United
mm-hmm.
States, imagine what's going to happen once they, you know what I'm about to say, right? Imagine what's going to happen once they start needing wanting TVs and having like all of the same lifestyle that we have here.
Right, right. Yeah, it's so interesting talking to you, Rem, because we must think alike or something, because whenever we talk, it's like I got 1,000 things to say. Let me just cover a couple of population statistics here, and this is from Frosty Wooldridge's book called America on the Brink. Have you ever heard Frosty when he's on my show?
I have. I'd like to meet him because I know that he lives in Denver, and I live very much near Denver. Yeah.
Wow.
I remember
you guys
I just picked
meet.
That up at some point. Yeah.
Excellent.
I'd love to meet that guy.
But he's great. Let me run through just a couple statistics here. 4 million people are born on the street and die on the street in India every year. 18 million people starve to death in the world every year. There are 9,000 newborns per hour. Unbelievable.
Wow.
And that's even when you subtract the number of deaths from that. So there's even more than 9,000 newborns an hour. We were talking about the third world. Bangladesh,
yeah.
which is the size of Iowa, has 167 million people in it. And that's more people than live in Russia. Jeez. Can you imagine?
Wow.
10 million children starve to death every year. The world population grows by 77 million people annually. One of the things that Frosty said when he was on the show last is that there are 100,000 immigrants coming into our country every month.
I remember now, listening to that part on the show, and that was just blowing your mind. That blew my mind, too. I had one question about that. Does that include the people who are leaving? Like, does that take into account the people who are leaving the country?
Are there people leaving?
Probably.
I didn't know that.
Because there's got to be like some people whose visas ran out and they got to go back to where they came from. Like, I wonder if 100,000 people entering the country takes into account the people who have to go back to wherever.
That's a good question.
100,000 every month, right?
Yeah.
He said 100,000 immigrants every month into the country, which, I mean, if that is truly amazing, if that also takes into account the people who are leaving. Anyway.
I don't know how many leave. I would assume it's a relatively small amount anyway, right? Maybe 1,000 or two get deported. I don't know.
I have no idea.
Just purely speculative. The world population grows by 77 million people annually. We are the third fastest growing country in terms of immigration. You know, 100,000 people a month. Think about that. That immediately, 100,000 unemployed people every month. Boom. And they probably, I assume they get welfare or whatever, or they're going to starve to death, right?
I guess. Did he say that these immigrants also get a free car or something like that?
I don't know. I thought he said something like that. How's that possible?
I wonder.
I don't understand.
I mean, maybe all of these immigrants are like driving for Uber.
Who knows, man?
But
can they drive? Do they even have a license? What?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. How does that all go? But, my girlfriend just got back from Silicon Valley. She was there for a conference, and she told me that Silicon Valley is basically a place run by white people, as all the white people are bosses, and you have all of these very smart, techie people, but who are Indian, who are black, who are Chinese, who are they're all driving for Uber. And she found out that all these Uber drivers are all people who are in the tech industry who can't pay for their life. They have real jobs, like very high profile tech jobs, but it's so expensive there that they're also all driving for Uber so that they can pay their bills.
What a nightmare, because I have a tech job and I get to put 8 to 10 hours a day in my tech job. I don't know how the people can do it. And then they work another job on top of that. Oh,
yeah.
That's horrible. Oh, how exhausting. And, you know, a tech job it drains you a lot because there's a lot of mental energy that it takes to do this kind of work. And, wow, ooh, that's depressing. People got to get out of California. Well, maybe they need to stay there. I don't know. More I think
she
about
said
it.
That they going there, like everybody should visit. Everybody should visit that place. I've never been. I've never even set foot in California, not even for a layover. She said
I've
that
been
every,
to California
everybody
times.
Should. Oh, okay. She said everybody should visit Silicon Valley because that's like maybe where the world's headed, and we should take that as an example of what to try to avoid.
It's been 10 or 15 years since I've been to California. And the first time I
totally
went,
different
I went
now.
To San Diego. Oh, yeah. The first time I went was probably 20 years ago. And it was so beautiful in San Diego. And then I came back later when I worked for Ohio State. And it was horrible. I mean, there were so many more people there. You can't even imagine. And they used to have these beautiful blue skies in San Diego. Not anymore.
Hmm.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt you. You inspire me. But
thank
isn't
you?
Yeah.
Well, California, you inspire me too, Mark.
Okay. Go ahead. Continue your train of thought there. I interrupt you. I derailed you again.
Everybody should visit. Yeah, that's right. Everybody should visit Silicon Valley if they haven't been there, because that was all I was kind of just gonna say. Just because.
Okay.
She said that really gives you an idea of that the world is going to end quickly. That's what she said.
That's what we're coming to. Seriously, that is what we're talking about with this company.
That's why I brought it
Circa.
Up. Mm-hmm.
We've got this insane group of elites that they're just so. I mean, I'm doing the research in this. Do you know Benjamin Franklin? Remember Benjamin Franklin? He was supposed to be one of the fathers of our country.
Sure.
Well, he was really a British spy. He was a member of this group called the Hellfire Club. They did human sacrifice, blood drinking, and in the normal degeneracy stuff. I guess they were Luciferians. He lived on something called Craven Street, which I guess is somewhere in London or whatever, and they found 10 dead bodies buried in his yard, 6 of which were children. And he's supposed to be one of the fathers of this country.
I know.
You know, the United States is not what we think it is. I'm going to let you fill in the blanks there.
I think the American flag is a military thing, isn't it? It's like the design is all military. I'd have to. Carol actually told me about that about 6 years ago. So
seriously.
my memory about that is kind of fuzzy. But yeah, she told me about. I do remember when she told me about it. I think we were in Prague, because that was
Prague.
That was right after we had met. We met through Facebook, I think.
Really.
And we were both. And we ended up meeting in Boulders and talking about Figu and Billy Meyer and stuff for like 7 hours. And then
seriously?
Yeah. Goodness, I think sake. We met up here in Boulder, and then I ended up going over to her house for some reason. And then we talked about all the information for about 7 hours, I think. And
gosh.
And then we were both planning on going to the passive members meeting in Switzerland. And so we did that. And then her husband ended up, coming to Switzerland too. And then the three of us, took a little trip around Europe, and then we ended in Prague, and they left, I stayed. But yeah, she told me something about the American flag being a military, it's all based on military symbolism. But what did we learn? It's 50 stars because of 50 states, and then 13
right.
colonies,
right.
The 13 stripes. It's basically a military flag.
Hmm.
Well,
very interesting. I don't know. The layout of Washington D.C. is very interesting. We got the Washington Monument, which is basically a giant phallic symbol. And seriously, it's designed to pull in male energy. That's why they built them in Egypt. The same kind of thing. And
it's paying homage to the giant obelisks in Egypt, right?
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And the domes, you know, like over Washington, the actual building there, that pulls in female energy. I don't know how it all works.
Hmm.
Believe me, but this has all been designed. And they knew about the America before Columbus was around. In fact, that was the time when United States was supposed to be discovered. Anyway, there is a group, a secret group that has all kinds, going back to Atlantis and Lemuria. Billy hasn't really, he talks about the secret dark order, But he hasn't really elaborated on that much, so maybe I should not go there too much since we're kind of close on time.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I do have one thing to say is that it's based on all the Washington, D.C., and the layout is all based on all this symbolism and how they might gain energy from the way that things are placed and the actual the shapes of the buildings and the structures themselves. Well, what if all of this, what if it only works because they believe it works very, they just believe in it very much so, but what if it's all based on faulty information that is passed down? Maybe they don't even have correct information.
It's possible. Even the might of the thoughts associated, you know, could be doing mm-hmm. it. I mean, that's the one thing that I, you know, study all the time is the Might of Thoughts book. And didn't you have some things that you wanted to bring up from either the psyche or the way to live?
It's from the way to live. It's something that I've been thinking about a lot. It just keeps popping back into my mind. And so I guess we're going to switch gears a little bit right now. I don't know if this relates at all to what we've been talking about, but it's in the Way to Live, and it's on page 256, at least the English translation, right? And it's number 363. It says, the grasping and holding. Yeah.
Okay. 256. Hang on. Let me catch up with you. Okay. I got it highlighted. Go ahead. This is great.
The grasping and holding on are the sources of all human problems. But the grasping and holding on cannot be coordinated with the becoming and passing. Consequently, the human being does not want to come to terms with that. Yeah. I mean, I guess
okay,
I'll just let, stop there.
Yeah, let's stop there and let's try to talk about this because I want to figure this out. So if I was like studying this on my own, I would look up the term grasping and I would look at the term holding and just get a definition of the English words. And then I might go and look at the German terms. I don't know if you can pronounce those. Can you pronounce those?
Ergreifen. Das Ergreifen.
Okay.
And Festhalten.
Okay.
That would be
okay.
The grasping and holding on.
Yeah, yeah. So that is something that he's saying is the source of all problems, which is, wow, try to wrap your mind around that. So what does it mean to grasp?
Of all human problems. Maybe
human
that's important
problem.
Too.
Yeah. So if we're grasping something, we're seizing it, we've got a firm hold on it. We're not supposed to be doing that.
Grasping is greedy / or avaricious. That's the definition, I guess.
Was that right?
Yeah. Greedy, or so grasping, power-hungry individuals. Grasping definition. Yeah, I mean, that's the very first thing that comes up.
Well, it could also mean to take something quickly in your hand and to hold it firmly, right? It could be the power to achieve or control something as well. So what's this trying to tell us? It's trying to tell us to be willing to let go of things, right?
That's what I take it as. If you read on further, it says, as soon as he or she is able to think, he or she grasps possession of the life and holds onto it with all means, whereby he or she simply pushes aside and ignores the fact of the mortality of the life, because he or she associates the mortality and thereby the death with pain. Mm-hmm. Therefore, for the human being, mortality means the same as pain, for which he or she desperately clings on or clings to his or her life, as well as to all things which indeed, truthfully, all constantly change and are mortal.
Okay. So we hold on to things. We're grasping things. So that would say something about materialism, right?
Yeah.
That we have to recognize that all of our possessions are extremely temporary. And we have to be aware of that and know that they go away and that we can't hold on to them. And that includes our youth, right? I mean,
yeah.
You know, as we get older, we're going to lose some energy. We're going to lose our strength. You know, we may have been real proud of being a strong person. We're going to lose some of our endurance.
You,
all of this.
You hear that? Like the 20s were the best years of my life, you know? So, but I just wish that it was always like that, you know? And that's like, it goes right along with that. That's just not letting go of those years. And, you know, a friend of mine recently said that he doesn't really consider that he owns anything anymore. He said he just rents all of his possessions. So he rents his coat and he rents his shoes. And even though he owns all these things, he said it makes it much easier when they go away.
You know, it's very interesting. Now, I'm going to bring this down to my own life a little bit, which I probably shouldn't in some ways do, but I invested heavily, and it was expensive, in a home generator because the power goes out a lot around here. And they have like a 10 to 15 year life. And the one I have is starting to wear out. And, like, I sure as hell don't want to buy another one. You know, it's too damn expensive. So, and I had this problem, I would say, this past week, or maybe it was the week before. Because, you know, you call the folks that work on these things, and the last time they came out was in, like, the end of January. And he, you know, unscrews the thing, you know, and takes the covers off, and he goes, "You see that voltage regulator down there?" And he takes this little red straw and he pokes it in a hole and cleans this little area out and puts it all back together. Thing starts right up. He says, "That'll be $172. I said, "Whoa." I said, "What are we going to do to really, really fix this thing?" Because, you know, I would call that a kludge or a hack in software terminology, because that's not a fix. That's a Band-Aid, right? He says, how long can I expect this to actually work until that gets gunked up again? And he said, well, it could be a couple months or whatever, you know. So honestly, I think it stopped working probably a week after that. So finally, here it is in May, and I call him again. And I'm trying to get this back down to grasping and holding. And he comes out again. He does the same damn thing. That'll be $172. I said, you know, at this point, I'm definitely, you know, I'm analyzing my own thoughts. I'm saying, I'm not feeling real balanced and harmonious right now about this. I'm like, okay, so he charged me $350 for two visits. He took this little straw, you know, and just cleaned up the gunk out again. And I'm like, okay, what is it going to take to really fix this problem? He goes, oh, boy, that's going to cost $1,200 or $1,500. We're going to have to do this. We're going to have to do that. We're going to have to do the other thing. And I told him, I said, you know, I wouldn't be mad right now if you'd have had the parts and you'd have went ahead and fixed this and charged me that much. I would have paid it, you know. But now you charge me $350 and you haven't fixed anything. Anyway, I'm ranting a little bit. But this is me grasping and holding onto this because here I am. This is my part of my plan, you know, to make my disaster plan, so to speak, is my home generator. And it's coming. I mean, we probably used it 100 times at least that thing has kicked on. And I don't have you. Do you guys have many power outages where you are in Colorado or not?
Oh man, no. Like very rarely. Every once in a while, you hear a you'll hear a little boom, and I think it's a squirrel like getting into the one of those transformers on the light pole.
Well, we have outages that last weeks here. I don't know if you've ever had
really?
An outage that last. Oh yeah. Like, we had one even where major parts of Columbus were without power for 2 weeks.
Oh, wow.
And I was very fortunate. Yeah, yeah, you see people coming to work with, you know, they haven't washed their hair, you know, and they're like, yeah, yeah, yeah. So this, I relate to the grasping and the holding. You know, this is something I'm going to have to think about in terms of being – to not to grasp and hold. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
This is like, so I lost my, you know how Billy talks about the equalized, balanced thinking, the harmonious thinking. And I was losing that. I was definitely losing that. So anyway,
if you keep going along, it's to the next page. It says there's a tragic comedy in the human being desperately holding on to everything mortal, because this holding on is senseless and futile. A tragic comedy.
Where's that? Which line is that on? That's great.
It's just the very next page. It's like smack dab in the middle.
Oh,
of the
yeah,
page.
There it is. I see it. There is a tragic comedy in the human being desperately holding on to everything more. So I'm holding on to my home generator here. This is senseless and futile. Yeah, it's senseless and futile. The life, namely, ends at some point exactly as does the existence of all material things. Well, this is some heavy, heavy stuff that we're laying on the people, and we've only got like 2 minutes left in the show. My goodness. It sounds like we need to follow up on this in our next discussion, man.
Maybe.
All we've done is introduce. I'll get you back on the show somehow.
Okay.
I appreciate this, man. It's very interesting talking with you. You energize me. I can't quite put my finger on it.
Well, thanks. I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what to say except thank you. Just trying to. And I'm like looking at trying to find this other part, but I thought it was from the same, because it talks about learning later on in that same thing, and it said,
go ahead.
Maybe it's not in here. Sorry.
Well, is this what you're talking about?
Yeah.
He or she has anxiety about truthfully learning and practically experiencing the effective truth. To really live means learning, but learning means to search for the truth. Is that what you're thinking of, something along this line?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that one little line, it says to truly live. Where is that? Is it on 258 or 260?
258, it's about 20 lines down, I'm thinking, or 15.
Oh, yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah, to really live means learning. That's another really good one.
Mm.
Just that one little bit right there.
Well, let's play by ear, and if you're around, I don't know what your schedule's like tomorrow or maybe next week or whatever, whatever works, mm-hmm. You know, just send me a little Skype message if you're in the mood to talk about this some more, because I'm so inspired. I feel like studying this now. This
sure.
is pretty interesting.
And on the next page, it says, can I read one thing?
Sure, go ahead.
But the one who is really learning changes his or her level of knowledge and never learns on the same level, just as one cannot bathe twice in the same water of a stream, because the water which swirls around the body immediately flows on and new water follows.
You know, this is what I try to tell people. I try to tell people this on the program, and I'm not getting this across. I know I'm not. You can never study this material enough because it's so profound. And you can never be an expert. Wouldn't you agree? I mean, you're always going to be learning.
I agree.
Okay, good.
I think I heard Vivian Legg say one time that she's not an expert. She's like, just as a forewarning, I'm not an expert. But then it's like, she's been studying this material for a long time.
And she translates the whole dang book, right? I mean, she was one of the translators of the Might of Thoughts, wasn't she, or something like that?
Oh, yeah. I think she translated a lot of Might of Thoughts. And I mean, she's part of the Australia group. She does a lot of the translation, also The Way to Live, this book right here. So, yeah.
So I as close as we can get is like starting to get a little bit of a handle, a little bit of grasp on this. Because I think you can study like all three of these books, like The Way to Live, The Might of Thoughts, The Psyche. You can study this your whole life, period, and continue to learn this stuff. Don't you agree?
I agree. And it's important to not just study it, but to go through life and have experiences, because then you can relate the material to real life and then assimilate it more, and then it becomes more effective.
Do you have the new Talmud?
I do.
Yeah. Next time you come on, can we go over that? Because I just have the old one.
Okay.
And I'd like to hear you read and or talk about some of the stuff that Billy said about the corrections, like the terms. What's he got, like a 30 or 40 pages there where he talks about his corrections or something like that, doesn't he?
It's sprinkled throughout the whole book. The whole book has been fattened up through explanations that he's added all throughout the entire thing. And then there's a new section at the very beginning where he goes in really great detail about he kind of goes into the history of I've got it right here. I don't really want to get too far into it because I know we got to end the show. But
go ahead.
I mean, it's like almost an entire extra book that he's added at the beginning of just explanations and of like, and then different religions and their origins and what an explanation of the soul here and the regarding the healing of the sick and the Dead Sea Scrolls, the Gospel of Mark, Luke, and he talks about the people who actually wrote all of those, the original writer of the Gospel of Matthew, Luke, Mark,
really?
Yeah.
Okay, I gotta order it. I don't know why I've been putting it off. I gotta order it.
Storage banks. What's the explanation of storage banks? You know, stuff like that. So, yeah, the whole thing is
fancy.
It's very thick. It's like 2 inches thick now.
No kidding. So it's even thicker than like the Might of Thoughts, then, right?
Yeah.
Amazing. Amazing. Rem, thanks for coming on, man. I don't know where the hour went, but we'll have to talk again soon. Just send me a message on Skype, okay?
Okay.
I'll talk to you later and to you people. Thanks for listening to the archives. I really appreciate all the folks that are listening. It's been fantastic. Talk to you later.